Hi, everyone. I'm Craig Orndorff. This is Seems Like Old Times, the show where we listen to the memories. Greetings, my friends, old and new. So nice to have you along for another edition of the show that features some of the greatest music of all time, and also a recollection of days gone by. And coming up today, our entire show is dedicated to this weekend in 1945, as World War II came to an end 80 years ago with the surrender of Japan. So we will look back with the news of that historic day, along with radio and newspaper reports and so much more. And of course, we will have the top 10 countdown from this weekend in 45, but with lots of other records too. So it's two big hours from the middle of August 1945 today, and if you're ready, let's go!
Seems like old times, being here with you.
And we're off and running on today's Seems Like Old Times. And we start on the countdown from this weekend in 1945. And we'll be using the retail sales chart from Billboard magazine. And an interesting twist about the chart during this time, there were often more than 10 in the top 10. If there were ties for a certain position, they'd put all those records in the same spot, but wouldn't eliminate the places behind them. For instance, we have two records at number 8, but instead of skipping over spot number 9, there's two more tunes there. And as we begin at number 10 this weekend, 80 years ago, there's four songs at number 10. And first up, it's the Stan Kenton Orchestra.
I, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico, Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
You buy a beautiful shawl, a souvenir for Aunt Flo, authentic Mexican art. Made in Idaho.
I, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
The senoritas they wave when you arrive at the docks. The native costumes they wear are slacks and Bobby socks.
I, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico, Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
You buy some pottery there to beat the luxury tax. You find that when you get home, they sell it cheaper at Saks.
I, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico, Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
Fellas, dig that square.
I, Tampico, Tampico, on the Gulf of Mexico. Tampico, Tampico, down in Mexico.
One of the four records tied at number 10 this day in 1945, Tampico, Stan Kenton with his new girl singer June Christie. It's the first hit for the 19-year-old, taking the place of Anita O'Day. And for the 33-year-old Kenton from Wichita, Kansas, it's his fourth top 10 hit on its way up to number 2 and his first million-selling record. It is the middle of August in 1945 on today's Seems Like Old Times, when the President of the United States was Harry Truman. The population was just under 140 million. And the big story this weekend, and the reason for our feature today, the war is over. The Japanese have surrendered. Victory in Europe came back in May, and Hitler and Mussolini are both dead. So then all attention turned to Japan. In late July, from the Potsdam Conference, a proclamation to the Japanese people is issued by the US, the UK, and China, which warns of devastation from the final blows and calls for Japan's unconditional surrender. A couple of days later, Japan rejects the declaration, and an invasion seemed to be the next step. But President Truman's chiefs of staff produced a study that said American casualties from an invasion could range from 250,000 to 1 million. In addition, millions of Japanese military and civilian casualties were expected. So instead of launching the invasion, President Truman decided to use an atomic bomb.
The world will note that the first atomic bomb was dropped on Hiroshima, a military base. We won the race of discovery against the Germans. We have used it in order to shorten the agony of war, in order to save the lives of thousands and thousands of young Americans. We shall continue to use it until we completely destroy Japan's power to make war.
3 days later, there was still no word from the Japanese on possible surrender, and a second atomic bomb was dropped on the city of Nagasaki. The official casualty figures from air raids, including the atomic bombs, are 260,000 killed, more than 400,000 injured, more than 9 million are homeless, and 44 cities are completely wiped out. 5 days later, Japan waved the white flag. And we'll have a lot more news from the war in Japan coming up, but right now, let's get back to the countdown and our four-way tie at number 10. Here's the Hal McIntyre Orchestra doing Sentimental Journey. Thirty-year-old Cromwell, Connecticut native Hal McIntyre and his orchestra, their Sentimental Journey. Part of the quartet tied at number 10 this weekend in 1945. I was sliding down after reaching number 3 on all three of the big charts. Before the war, McIntyre played alto sax for the Glenn Miller Orchestra. On today's show, it's the middle of August, 80 years ago. And back to the fighting in Japan. On the 9th of August, the second atomic bomb was dropped. A rumor started to swirl that the Japanese were about to surrender. A couple of false reports went out over the radio airwaves on Sunday the 12th. And Monday evening, there was still no word as Gabriel Heater went on the air.
There's a feeling in Washington Japan's delay indicates a dramatic disagreement inside her own government. That may delay a final reply for several days. Even civil war in Japan isn't ruled out as a possibility now. Their people know nothing even now regarding their surrender offer. Their latest propaganda line talks of more war and the likelihood of American invasion. And the war is on, very much on. There's no evidence to show that the people are being prepared for surrender. China's ambassador seems confident of big news soon. He ought to know how the Jap mind would work under these circumstances. He's a well-informed man. I believe he knows. At least he has every right to know what to expect. He seems confident. There are no facts, however, nothing but mysterious silence. Do they need time in Tokyo to swallow the cruel, arrogant pride? There's little doubt of it. This will be a cup of bitter tea.
That's Mutual's Gabriel Heater on Monday, August 13th, 1945. And we're back to the Billboard sales chart this week. Still at number 10, here's the third record in that slot. It's Perry Como.
I'm gonna love that gal like she's never been loved before. I'm gonna show that gal she's the baby that I adore. When she's in my arms again, our dreams will all come true. Then the years between might never have been. We'll start our lives anew. I'm gonna kiss that gal like she's never been kissed before. And though I miss that gal, she's the baby I'm waiting for. We'll never part again, she'll hold my heart again, forever and evermore. I'm gonna love that gal like she's never been loved before. I'm gonna love that gal like she's never been loved before. I'm gonna show that gal she's the baby that I adore. When she's in my arms again, our dreams will all come true. Then the years between might never have been. We'll start our lives anew. I'm gonna kiss that gal like she's never been kissed before. And though I miss that gal, she's the baby I'm waiting for. We'll never part again, she'll hold my heart again, forever and evermore. I'm gonna love that gal like she's never been loved before.
First week in the top 10 for Perry Como, I'm Gonna Love That Gal. Sharing spot number 10 this weekend in 1945, that was a flip side hit that would make it to number 4 on the jukeboxes. And it's one of three entries in the top 10 this week from Mr. C. And back to our coverage of the recent final days of World War II. We heard Gabriel Heater on Monday evening, the 13th of August, talking about the mysterious silence from Japan on possible surrender. Well, later that night, early Tuesday morning, just before 2 o'clock, the Mutual Network was carrying a live broadcast of Cab Calloway's orchestra from the new Zanzibar in New York City.
From the Mutual Newsroom in New York, Tokyo Radio says acceptance of Potsdam Proclamation coming soon. I repeat, Tokyo Radio says acceptance of Potsdam Proclamation coming soon. One moment, please. Please, I repeat this bulletin. Tokyo Radio says acceptance of Potsdam Proclamation coming soon. A bulletin from San Francisco. Tokyo Radio said today that an imperial message accepting the Potsdam Proclamation would be forthcoming soon. From the Mutual Newsroom in New York, San Francisco, the International News Service. FCC quotes, Domai saying Japan accepts Allied terms. Repeating this bulletin, dated San Francisco, the Federal Communication Commission quotes Domai saying Japan accepts Allied terms. This is not official. I repeat, this is not official. This is from the Tokyo radio. We're standing by in the Mutual newsroom. Just one moment, please. From the OWI, the Japanese government has accepted the Allied surrender formula embodied in the note dispatched to Tokyo by the United States. The Tokyo Domai Agency said today in a wireless dispatch recorded by the Federal Communications Commission.
A reason for optimism for those folks who were awake just before 2 a.m. on the 14th of August, 1945. And we're back to the countdown and our final record at number 10 this week. And the first of three versions of Bell Bottom Trousers. This one's by Jerry Colonna.
It's a chicken! It's a crow! It's a buzzard!
Run for your lives! It's Colonna!
Oh, once there was a little girl who lived next to me. And she loved a sailor boy, I was only three. Now I'm on a battleship in my sailor suit. Just a great big sailor man, but I'm just as cute.
Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves her sailor, and he loves her too.
I'm her pappy of the poop deck, coat of navy blue. She's my little anchor, I'm her tanker too. Now other girlies pass me guy, but I don't care at all. She's my little rudder bar, I'm her little yawl. The reason why I think that she is so divine, she has a mustache twice as big as mine.
Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves a sailor and he loves her too.
And on a nice day when the weather's clear, we take out our schooners and fill them full of beer. I promised we'd get married, then I put out to sea. But come the fall, she bought a yawl and took out after me. I fired a friendly salvo, but she returned the blast right between my forward hatch and my mizzen mast. I was on the top deck as she came along, trying to help a native girl tie up her sarong. I'll give you one guess, what was my reward? Man overboard!
Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves a sailor and he loves her too.
That was long ago, now everything is fine. We have some little sailor lads, as I remember, nine.
Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. She loves a sailor, we'll be sailors too.
When this war is over, we'll sail the ocean blue. With all our little skippers making up the crew. We'll sit up on the poop deck enjoying peace of mind. They'll be trailing in our wake, their dinghies out behind.
Bell-bottom trousers, coat of navy blue. Daddy is a sailor, we'll be sailors too.
If I look bow-legged at a glass, you mustn't blame it upon my stand.
Six versions of Bell Bottom Trousers made the charts here in the summer of 1945, and that was the wackiest of them from funny man Jerry Colonna. That's the second record the 40-year-old Boston native took to the charts, and Colonna started in music playing the trombone and worked occasionally with Raymond Scott, but his antics made him a comedian and a big star. His version of Bell Bottom Trousers topped out at number 7 here in August of 1945, and we're listening to the memories on Seems Like Old Times. Today on Seems Like Old Times, our entire show is dedicated to this week in 1945. And we'll take a little break from the top 10 right now and check out some other records outside those parameters, including a couple of new ones. Helen Forrest and Dick Hames are together again.
Imagine me with my head on your shoulder. And you with your lips getting bolder, a sky full of moon, and a sweet mellow tune. Ah, by that dream, imagine me in a gown white and flowery, and you thanking Dad for my dowry. A church full of folks, and those last minute jokes. Ah, by that dream.
A honeymoon in Cairo, in a brand new water gyro, then off to Rio for a drink. We'll settle down near Dallas in a little plastic palace. Oh, it's not as crazy as you think.
Imagine me, 83, wearing glasses, and you, 92, making passes. It doesn't sound bad, and if it can't be had, I'll buy that dream.
Imagine me with my head on your shoulder, and you with your lips getting bolder.
A sky full of moon and a sweet mellow tune. Ah, by that dream. Imagine me in a gown white and flowery, and you thanking Dad for my dowry.
A church full of folks and those last minute jokes. I'll buy that dream. A honeymoon in Cairo in a brand new water gyro, then home by rocket in a wink.
We'll settle down near Dallas in a little plastic palace. It's not as crazy as you think.
Imagine me on our first anniversary with someone like you in the nursery.
Oh, it doesn't sound bad.
And if it can be had,
I'll buy that dream.
We haven't had a Helen Forrest Dick Haymes duet since about this time last year. And that one's just been released, I'll Buy That Dream. It would climb to number 2, and it was brand new in the record stores this week, 80 years ago. And this was new.
You know what I heard the other day? Well, someone told me that one of the members of the gang was listening closely Monday when I first told you all about these brand new comic buttons, the new prizes in packages of Kellogg's Pep. And this young fellow was so pleased and excited with the big news, he came right out with a big yippee! Well, I bet you feel like that, too, when you get your first new comic button. It'll be one of your old favorite Funny Sheet characters, you know. Maybe Superman himself, or Skeezix, or Uncle Walt, or Smokey Stover. You know him, don't you? Or any one of 18 different buttons, each one a humdinger for color and sparkle. You'll get a big kick out of rounding out your collection of all 18 buttons, swapping duplicates with your pals, wearing them on your jacket or dress or cap. And here's the payoff, gang. You don't send in a single penny for these new comic buttons, not even a box top. You can't even buy them anywhere. You just ask Mom to get you plenty of that super delicious whole wheat flake cereal, Kellogg's Pep. Inside every package, there's a swell prize. One of these brand new Thriller Diller comic buttons, or a military insignia or a warplane button. So get in on the fun. Make sure Mom gets you a package of P.E.P. Pep, made by Kellogg's of Battle Creek.
Now, during the war, Kellogg's gave away buttons featuring military squadron insignia. Now they're featuring characters from the newspaper comics. Do you remember that? More importantly, do you have some of those pins? Well, if you do, write and let me know. Love to hear your recollections about it. The email address is Craig, C-R-A-I-G, at oldtimesradio.com. Pep cereal cartoon buttons were new here in 1945. And here's another new record. It's also a duet. Ella Fitzgerald and the Delta Rhythm Boys.
Say it's only a paper moon sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky hanging over a muslin tree. But but it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love, it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love, it's a melody played in a penny arcade. It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me.
Say it's only a paper moon, sailing over a cardboard sea. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Yes, it's only a canvas sky, hanging over a muslin tree. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. Without your love,
it's a honky-tonk parade. Without your love,
it's a melody played in a penny arcade.
It's a Barnum and Bailey world, just as phony as it can be. But it wouldn't be make-believe if you believed in me. It's phony, it's plain to see how happy I would be if you believed in me.
That's 27-year-old Ella Fitzgerald and a group that began in Oklahoma, then moved to New Orleans, the Delta Rhythm Boys. There were five in the group, but officially just a vocal quartet and pianist. And they were Lee Gaines, Carl Jones, Travers Crawford, and Kelsey Farr. And tickling the ivories for the group was Renee DeKnight. And their revival of the old Tin Pan Alley song, It's Only a Paper Moon, composed by Harold Arlen, Yip Harburg, and Billy Rose, would reach number 9 on the jukebox chart. And this weekend, it's already at number 4 on the jukebox race records chart. That's what it was called back then. Now, at the top of that survey this weekend is the Lucky Melander Band, featuring Winoni Harris, who threw the whiskey down the well.
It was an early Sunday morning, and the church was crowded full. Old Elder Brown was raving, he was angry as a bull. The congregation sensed it, and they knew just what he meant when he said, my text today is you sinners must repent. Who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well.
Who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well.
'Cause Deacon Jones knelt down to pray, all he said was, hey, hey, hey. So who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well. Now.
I'm feeling mighty fine, I'm high as a Georgia pie.
So who threw the whiskey in the well?
In the well. Let's have the ball.
Omaha, Nebraska's Winoni Harris, singing with the Lucky Millinder Band, and Who Threw the Whiskey Down the Well. And he made that recording in his first ever studio session in May of 44, but the embargo on shellac had not been removed yet, so the record's release had to be delayed until the spring of 45. And when it did, it became a big hit with both black and white audiences. And by then, Harris had launched a solo career, and he was in high demand. And that was by far the biggest record for Lucky Millinder out of Anniston, Alabama. It got to number 7 on the jukebox chart and spent 8 weeks at number 1 on the aforementioned race record survey. We've got the sounds of August of 45 on today's Seems Like Old Times. This is Seems Like Old Times. I'm Craig Orndorff. Today we've turned the calendar back 80 years to August of 1945. And we left off with our news coverage early in the morning on the 14th of August, with unconfirmed reports that the Japanese had surrendered. Well, that evening at 7 p.m. Washington time, it became official.
The Japanese have accepted our terms fully. That is the word we have just received from the White House in Washington, and I didn't expect to hear a celebration here in our newsroom in New York, but you can hear one going on behind me. We switched to London. I don't know what happened. I'm not even sure whether you heard the first words of Prime Minister Attlee or not. I couldn't hear anything in our speaker here. With the confusion, suddenly we got the word from our private telephone wire from the White House in Washington. The Japanese have accepted fully the surrender terms of the United Nations. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the end of the Second World War. It is not, of course, the official VJ Day, but the United Nations on land, on sea, on air, to the four corners of the earth and the seven seas, are united and are victorious.
That's Bob Trout of CBS with the announcement that the war is over. Here's Trout's CBS colleague in the nation's capital, Bill Henry.
Here in Washington, which was quiet and subdued while other towns were blowing their tops in the excitement, the actual final news had an effect like nothing I've ever seen. In my years as a reporter, I've seen people all over the world celebrating everything from the ends of other wars to things that you and I would never dream of celebrating. All day long, while I was in the death watch at the White House, there had been a small crowd around our transmitter on Pennsylvania Avenue, directly in front of the White House. But by the time I sprinted the 250 or 300 yards from the president's study to the transmitter with the big news, people seemed to have sprung up out of the ground. It was my privilege to read the presidential proclamation giving the details of the unconditional surrender, and the shrieks of joy were like nothing that these old ears have ever heard. In an instant, Pennsylvania Avenue was a great river of humanity, shouting, laughing, and crying. Within a few minutes, President Harry Truman and Mrs. Truman came out on the porch of the White House. In response to the cheers of the tremendous throng, they walked across the White House lawn and down right to the fence along the Pennsylvania Avenue front of the Executive Mansion. If they had stayed there, the crowd would still be there cheering them.
The announcement of the Japanese surrender was given simultaneously at the Allied capitals around the world. The war is over. Let the celebration begin. And we return to the countdown from this weekend in 45, and we have two songs tied at number 9. Here's Bing Crosby.
Do you hear that whistle down the line? I figure that it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Here she comes.
Hey, Jim, you better get out the rig.
Pretty big.
And they all want lifts down to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell, all the way from Philadelphia on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. it's engine number 49. She's the only one that'll sound that way on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe. See the old smoke rising round the bend. I reckon that she knows she's gonna meet a friend. Folks around these parts get the time of day from the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
Here she comes.
Hey, Jim, you better get out the rig. She's got a list of passengers that's pretty big, and they all want lifts down to Brown's Hotel, 'cause lots of them been traveling for quite a spell.
All the way from Philadelphia,
on the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
On the Atchison, Topeka, and the Santa Fe.
On the Atchison, Topeka, and the
Santa Fe.
On the Atchison, Topeka, and the
Santa Fe.
The good old 80 and the Santa Fe.
On the Atchison, Topeka, and Santa Fe, Bing Crosby tied at number 9 this weekend in 1945. He was joined by Six Hits and a Miss, along with the John Scott Trotter Orchestra. That reached number 3, the sixth top 10 of the year for 42-year-old Bing. Along with counting down the hits from this day 80 years ago, we're reminiscing about the end of World War II. The official announcement was made in the U.S. at 7 p.m. Eastern wartime, resulting in celebrations all across the country. NBC's Ben Grauer was in Times Square.
This is the NBC mobile unit in the heart, center, and the pulsing focus of a joyous nation on Times Square in New York City. Ben Grauer reporting as I stand, literally stand, tiptoe, sticking my head outside the silver gray turret top of the NBC mobile unit and look uptown over a foaming, seething, writhing mass of faces lifted joyously and buoyantly and gloriously happy at the final conclusion of a desperate war which has seen its closing days in a desperate day or three or four of anxiety, turmoil, anticipation, doubt, fear, and being cast down. Are these people happy? That's the only word to express it. Happy.
To Guam and CBS's Webley Edwards.
The long-awaited word was received here almost casually. Its impact was terrific, and we were stunned. There's not yet time for any general tumult. There have been so many alerts and false alarms in the past few days that this is a sort of anticlimax. There are plenty of skeptics who just can't bring themselves around to believing it's all over. We're holding ourselves here with bated breath.
Here's Mutual's Arthur Hale.
I can't help thinking of those who will not be here to enjoy the fruits of their sacrifice. They and those whom they left behind to grieve for them. They had spirit and courage, great spirit and great courage. We know that they would want us to carry on, except that we might hope, if it's not asking you too much, that we mold the future a little more constructively in their memory. We're not really deserving of victory and peace unless we are prepared to do that. Nations, as communities, and as individuals.
President Truman delivered a radio address to the nation the next day.
It was the spirit of liberty which gave us our armed strength and which made our men invincible in battle. We now know that that spirit of liberty, the freedom of the individual, and the personal dignity of man are the strongest and toughest and most enduring forces in all the world.
Some of the reactions to the end of World War II, of course, the official surrender and celebration of VJ Day would come on September 2nd. Well, here's the other record tied at number 9 on the chart this week, another version of Sentimental Journey, this one by the Merrimacks.
Gonna take a sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, I got my reservation. Spent each time I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. 7, that's the time I leave. I'll be waiting up for heaven, counting every mile of railroad track that takes me back. Never thought my
heart could be so yearning. Why did I decide to roam? Gotta take a sentimental journey, sentimental journey home. Every rolling stone gets to feeling alone when home, sweet home, is far away. I'm a rolling stone who's been so alone until today. Gonna take a sentimental journey, gonna set my heart at ease. Gonna make a sentimental journey to renew old memories. Got my bag, I got my reservation. Spend each time I could afford. Like a child in wild anticipation, long to hear that all aboard. Seven, that's the time I leave at seven. I'll be waiting up for heaven.
Counting every mile of railroad track
that takes me back. I never thought my heart could be so yearning. Oh, why did I decide to roam? Gotta take this sentimental journey back home.
The second of three versions of Sentimental Journey on the chart this weekend in 1945, they're the Merrimacks, sharing spot number 9 on the Billboard sales chart. Their rendition reached number 4 on the jukebox survey. And no doubt it was a bittersweet time for the Merrimacks, enjoying success on the charts. The war was ending, but not coming back was one of their members. Joe McMichael died in action in February of 44 at the age of 28. He was survived by his two brothers, Ted and Judd McMichael, and Joe's replacement, Lynn Allen, along with the girl singer of the group, Marjorie Garland. The Merrimacks were part of the soundtrack of August 1945, and we're listening to it today on Seems Like Old Times. It's August of 1945 on today's Seems Like Old Times, and here's another record just outside the top 10. There Must Be a Way, featuring vocals by Jimmy Saunders and the beautiful trumpet of Charlie Spivak.
Isn't reflecting your eyes. I just don't know how to disguise how much much I miss you. There must be a song that doesn't remind me of you. There must be a kiss to thrill me like yours used to do. I looked for a way to be happy, happy with somebody new. Oh, there must be a way, but I can't find the way without you.
That's the Charlie Spivak Orchestra featuring the vocals of Jimmy Saunders and There Must Be a Way. That was at number 14 on the jukebox survey this weekend in 1945. And it would reach number 9 for the 38-year-old band leader born in Kiev, Ukraine, but grew up in New Haven, Connecticut. Well, let's give you another bonus from this week 80 years ago as we swing over to the radio chart. And debuting on that survey this week was one of the big stars of the airwaves, Hildegard. Accompanied by Guy Lombardo's orchestra, June is busting out all over.
A mill. A June is busting out all over. The feeling is getting so intense that the young Virginia creepers have been hugging the bejeepers out of all the morning glories on a fence. Because it's June, 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 June. Just because it's June, June, June.
It's June. Busting out all over. The ocean is full of jacks and jills.
With her little tail a-swishing, every lady fish is wishing that a male would come and grab her by the gills.
You betcha June is busting out all over. For the sheep aren't sleeping anymore, no more.
All the rams that chase the ewe sheep are determined there'll be new sheep, and the ewe sheep aren't even keeping score. On account of it's June, 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 just because it's June, June, June,
just because it's June.
There's Hildegard, Hildegard Cell out of Adel, Wisconsin, and June is busting out all over. Accompanied by Guy Lombardo and his Royal Canadians and the Song Spinners, that was at its peak of number 6 this week in 1945. And that's it for hour number 1 of today's show. We'll take a break and come back with more from August of 45 on Seems Like Old Times.